Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, starting with the first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For if I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he continued it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Please read with me the catechetical review found on the inside of your bulletin, the Table of Duties of Civil Government. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Romans 13:1-4. Our epistle reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 4, starting with the 16th verse. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand as we sing together the Gospel Alleluia. The Holy Gospel for the first Sunday of Trinity from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abram's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them warn them." And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord. We have confessed our Christian faith in the baptism this morning. Please be seated as we continue with the hymn of the day. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, for the hope and the promise that you give to us through your word. We ask, Father, that you would strengthen us now in your preaching, that we may continue to trust you in all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What does every person that goes to a funeral want to hear? They come to a funeral all wanting to hear the same thing. Bob is in heaven. Amy's in heaven with her Lord. We want to be assured that they are with Jesus. And when saving faith in Jesus is absent, when the fruit of the Christian life is absent from the life of the one that now lays there in the casket, many turn the tables. Instead of putting their hope and their promise in Christ, who is merciful and continues to give eternal life and forgive sins, they put their hope in the dead person. They put their hope in what they've done, in the good things, in the memories, in all of these things. They don't put their hope in Christ. They put their hope in what we think makes a good person, what society says makes a good person, and they try to find hope in the midst of their loss in what others say about that person. When death comes and the reality that that person we loved there is now departed from us, if they have departed without faith, it leaves no hope. So we put our hope in memories. I remember when, and we try to find comfort in that. We put our hope in the accomplishments that they've done. They were the most generous person I have ever seen. We put our hope in the things that they did. They spent so many hours down at the mission. God will certainly let them into heaven for that. We put our hope on the person, and not on what Christ has done for us through the cross. We put our hope in the fact that the dead person has all of the qualities that we think God will approve of. We turn the rock-solid promises of God that those who die in faith will rise because Jesus rose into a law of works. And we try to find some hope in the things that we have done. The gospel reading for today teaches us clearly about eternal life, resting with Jesus. It's not based on our works. It's not based on our goodness. It's not based on our good intentions or anything else. It is based solely on what Christ has done, the gifts that he gives to us in baptism, in forgiveness of sins, in his word preached to us, and his body and blood given to us. Jesus tells the story in the gospel reading for today of two men. One rich beyond comparison, the other totally dependent on everyone for everything. Describing these two guys today, it might sound something like this. The rich man, he had it made. He never made one single sandwich for himself. He had the caterers come in from the fanciest restaurants with the greatest chefs. Believe me, he never ate leftovers. They were there for his every need. If you looked in his closet, you wouldn't find Levi's and you wouldn't find Wranglers. It was Gucci and Armani and all of those high-end things, Louis Vuitton. His house, it was in the tens of millions, and that was before the housing developments went up. His yard was manicured by professionals. Never a blade of grass out of place. Perfect. And all the flowers as well. He had a gated community and it was all his, just so he could protect himself from everyone. The other guy, Lazarus, well, he was homeless. He was helpless. And honestly, he was pretty pathetic. Couldn't do a thing. Nothing for himself. He had open sores, undressed, unchecked, all over his body. The neighborhood people would see him being laid in their neighborhood so that they might take care of him, and they did what most people do. They'd pick him up and take him to the next neighborhood so he's somebody else's problem. They took him over to the rich man's place. They laid him down in front of the dumpsters. Maybe, just by chance, he might be able to find something there in the dumpsters that he could eat for a little bit. Helpless and hopeless. Both men died. Death doesn't play favorites. St. Paul says, all have sinned. All will die. The poor man, the man who was totally dependent for all of his needs on everyone around him, he went to be with Father Abraham at his side, which is really another way of saying he now rests with Jesus. He rests with Jesus in paradise. His resurrection was assured by one thing. It wasn't his good works. It wasn't that he had such a terrible life on earth that now God had mercy on him because he'd already done his time in hell and raised him to be with him. The poor man was in heaven with Christ because he believed in Jesus, because he had faith in Jesus and his death and resurrection for him. The rich man's story was tragic. Even if we were completely gracious to the rich man and say that he used all of his riches for good things, that he continued to feed orphans, to build low-income housing, he continued with all of his money to do everything he could for those who were less fortunate than him, it's still tragic because the man went to hell. It wasn't because he was rich. We don't know how he used his money. It wasn't because he may or may not have been selfish. It was because he did not believe in Jesus. As clearly as that. He had spent his time doing other things. He had been despising God's word. He did not believe in the promises of Jesus, and that resulted in his separation from God forever. You can memorialize him or anyone who dies that doesn't believe in Jesus all you want. You can praise them in the obituary. You can list every good work, every impressive thing that they've always done. And that will not change the fact that those who die without faith suffer eternally, forever, in hell, because they did not believe in Jesus. Many people think today that the church should preach more fire and brimstone, that I should be pounding on the altar more to get people's attention. If we preach more about the fires of hell, maybe we could scare people straight, and then they'd believe in Jesus. Well, preaching the reality of hell is important. It's important because it's real. It's important because we don't want to go there. But preaching the reality of hell is important because it is the law of God, and we should preach the law that shows us our sin. We need to know the consequences for us being sinners. But preaching about hell will not save anyone. Preaching about hell is simply the law doing its work. The law in the sermon today is clear. Sinners sin, and sinners go to hell without Christ. The law, when it does its work, points us to our brokenness. At best, it points you to the need for a Savior. It is the gospel that saves. Jesus on the cross for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, that is your hope. That is our hope and the hope for all mankind. Jesus on the cross for you saves you. It saves all of us. Jesus does the work that we can't do. Jesus' perfect blood sacrificed on the cross covers all of your sins. Your sins are atoned for. Jesus took the punishment for you so that you are free, so that you are forgiven, so that you are like the poor man. Hopefully not with open wounds, but one who has hope and promise of Jesus. The scriptures confess, and we confess in all the creeds, that when Jesus died, he went to where the rich man was. Jesus went to hell. But he didn't go to hell to continue suffering for his sins, for our sins that were put upon him. He went to hell not to whine and complain like the rich man did. He went to hell to proclaim victory. He came and went to hell, rose and went to hell to stand toe to toe with our evil foe and I think maybe just a little bit of it is the divine raspberry right in the face of the evil one saying, look, you killed me, and I've risen. And all of those who believe in me, their death has died, and they will rise because I have risen, and you are beaten. Jesus went to hell, where the rich man was, to proclaim his victory over sin and death and all the things that would separate us from the hope and promise of eternal life. Dear saints, this gospel reading for today is great news for you, for us, for all mankind. It is for every one of us, no matter the age. We are all sinners, and every sinner dies. But Jesus died for sinners. Jesus rose for sinners, so that when you close your eyes that last time, when you take that last breath, you will see Jesus. And he will take you to where the poor man, Lazarus, is. And he'll take you to where the thief on the cross is. And he'll take you to where all of those who have died in faith are resting at peace with Jesus. That's our hope. Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn us. He came in to save us, and that's by dying the death that we deserve. He will be there on that last day when you open your eyes. He will be there to share his victory with you and to take you home to be with him. Dear friends, if you are not believing in Christ, if you don't believe the good news, if you've been despising God's word, this message is God's good news for you. This is a message of hope. If you believe that when you die, dead is dead and there's nothing more than that, or if you believe that somehow you're pretty good, maybe above most, that your good works will be enough to get you into heaven, then you should try to answer these questions honestly. How much good is good enough? Have you done enough to overcome all the sins in your world? Are you willing to risk eternal damnation and suffering in the fires of hell if you're wrong? You don't have to. It isn't based on you. You can't do it, even if you think you can. The gospel today, the good news of Jesus, is for you. You're forgiven. Jesus has paid the price for your sins on the cross. There was a pizza commercial a number of years ago now. You might have remembered it. It said, what do you want on your tombstone? And I thought about that. At the end of our lives, what's left to say? And there's really only one thing that I would suggest that would give us hope. Forgiven child of God. That says it all. Forgiven by Christ on the cross. Child of God. Just like Holden and Jensen today, been brought into the kingdom, given faith to believe, forgiven their sins, and given them hope that he will be with them every day of their life, including that last day. And then, when all of this is over, when the suffering is done, Christ will take us to be with him, and we will rest with Jesus, waiting for the day when he comes back to the earth again. That's the hope that we have. It's not based on you or me or anything we do. It's not based on the great life we have or the tragedy of our life as it goes along. It's all based on Jesus, his forgiveness for you, and it's yours. It's the free gift of the gospel for you. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if I should be the one to preach your funeral, I pray that I can preach it joyfully. That Christ is risen. And this saint that lays here now and their body rests is resting with Jesus. That's our hope. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.